Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains Home Gardening Show with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University, here to talk gardening, answer your questions, and help you make your garden grow better. Call the Extension office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com to have your gardening questions answered. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern, celebrating 39 years. Bring life and color to your outdoor and indoor space with the professionals at A Growing Concern, Spartanburg Highway.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your local county extension agent and host. We're here to talk gardening, answer your garden questions, and help you make your garden grow better. You can email me at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com, as you well know, or you can call me at the Henderson County Extension Center during business hours at 828-697-4891, and I'll answer all your gardening questions. You can always drop by our office. We're in Jackson Park. We're the little brick building by the baseball fields. I get a lot of people walking in with their sick plants when the staff in the front see somebody coming in with a Ziploc bag, a bucket, a box, or a big dead limb. They know who to call. They know they're coming to see me, so maybe I can help people figure out what's wrong with their plants. And we do have this show available as a podcast on the WTZQ app. So hope you're all using that when you're out of town, like when you went on your Thanksgiving holiday and you want to keep up with your shows on the weekends. I know I like to listen to the Nature Show on the app, especially the recording of it, since it does come on so early and I'm not exactly an early bird. It's nice to be able to refer to the app and listen to those shows. Today is December 6th, and I do want to remind you that today is the final day of the Bloomington Gardens Christmas sale. You can go out there and pick up your wreaths and your greenery, but no poinsettias this year. If you want to get poinsettias, you should have went to the Blue Ridge Community College Christmas sale, which happened this past week. I did find some interesting quotes this week that are about trees. I think about trees a lot. I have four here, and check these out. So there's an old proverb. Some people say it's a Chinese proverb, but who knows how old it is and what civilization it came from. But you hear it over and over again when people are talking about trees. And the quote is, "The best time to plant a tree is 20 years ago. The second best time is now." And that feeds into this Greek proverb, quote, "A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in." So that's both of those quotes are encouragements for you to plant trees, even if you're not going to be able to fully appreciate them in their mature glory. Somebody will in the future. Joyce Kilmer, who was a poet that the Joyce Kilmer National Forest is named after, has a quote from, I think it's the first line of a poem, "I think I shall never see a poem as lovely as a tree." I like that one. But my favorite one is this one. And John Muir, who was he was a kind of a wandering conservationist. He was a writer, and he walked around the country, basically, especially through the Southeast and through the East Coast, kind of documenting nature as it was and documenting some of the wholesale damage that was being done by industrial forestry and agriculture and that sort of thing. And he didn't suffer fools lightly. And he has a great quote that says, this is John Muir, quote, "God has cared for these trees, but he cannot save them from fools." And I like that one because if you drive around Henderson County, you can easily ascertain for yourself and come to the conclusion, not even being an expert, that we're losing a lot of trees being cut down for development, and the landscapes that are planted back are not nearly as environmentally friendly as they could be. So we want to encourage folks, you know, sometimes we have to build something. Sometimes we have to use a piece of land for a business or a home. But the landscape that we plant back can be, if not fully, if you can't fully replace what was lost, you can at least make the landscape that's there environmentally friendly and make the plant selections that you make and the things that you do in the landscape do more good than harm, right? So we want to always make sure that our landscape chores, our processes that we do outside are environmentally friendly, and they cause more, they do more good than they do harm to the environment. And if you've listened to the show at all, you know that at, when I mention this, I'm talking about native plants, talking about using more environmentally friendly pest control options. Those are called biorational pesticides. Those are pesticides that are designed to dissipate quickly. Reduce pesticides if you can. Don't use them at all if you can help it. And if you do use them, use biorational, more environmentally friendly versions of these pest control products. The other thing is protect water quality. Don't denude the stream banks of plants. Don't mow all the way to a stream bank or to a pond. Allow that water's edge to grow up and become more natural. That helps hold the soil. It also shades the water, making it better for the wildlife that lives in there. Reduce the amount of grass that you have to mow. Grass is fine. I have three areas of grass in my yard, but they're small. And each year I try to carve out a little more and a little more to plant more and more native plants, especially pollinator-friendly plants. That's another one, is plant pollinator-friendly plants that attract pollinators and provide food for wildlife. And that's, I'm going to talk about some of that stuff today because my topic of the day is going to be plants with winter interest. And in the deciduous forests of the world, in the temperate regions of the world, the trees go through cycles of being covered in leaves. That is when they do their food production. That's when they grow and do most of their work. And then they go dormant in the winter and they kind of shut down. They do some stuff. If you're in a place like here where the ground doesn't freeze solid, the trees will continue to slowly, very slowly move roots, grow roots. Mycorrhizal fungi under the ground will continue to make the connections between tree roots and connect trees together and provide expanded root systems. So underground, things are still happening, especially when it's not, the ground's not frozen in the wintertime. But above ground, trees are pretty much dormant all the way up through Christmas, and then that's when they begin their slow ramp up until the spring. And we want to try to plant plants that are not only interesting for summer and spring, you know, flowering. You can find lots of plants that flower in the spring that look beautiful or have beautiful leaves, but it's harder to find plants that also have winter interest. So I have compiled a great list of these, and I'm going to make them available on our website for you to access when I get back to the office. And I'll start with plants that have berries. One of my favorite plants that I talk about on the show quite often is the winterberry. The winterberry is our deciduous holly. Hollies are in the genus Ilex. Hollies can be found throughout the temperate regions of the Northern Hemisphere, so all through the Americas, in Europe, and Asia. They're very easily, you can breed the different species together. So the genus is Ilex. The species for this particular plant I'm talking about is Verticillata, and it is our local native deciduous holly. That means it is a holly shrub that the leaves fall off in the wintertime. So it's not the kind of holly you're probably thinking of that's got real thick leaves and is evergreen and keeps its leaves year-round. No, this is actually a deciduous. But it does have beautiful red berries, and it is probably one of our best winter plants. And the winterberry is interesting. Well, all hollies are interesting in that they're dioecious, meaning they have male plants and also female plants. So you're only going to get berries on the female plants, but you need male plants to for the pollen to pollinate the flowers on the females. So, and of course, bees do that. These are very bee-friendly plants. In the springtime, you'll find any holly, even our non-native hollies that are in the landscape, covered and humming with bees. They love hollies. And the way to do a winterberry planting is to plant one male per 6 or 10 female plants. So these plants are suckering plants, meaning they start off as a little bunch of stems, but the colony of stems gets larger and larger. And these are really good for massing up on like a bank in the full sun. They handle wet areas very well, but they also handle being in the dry sun very well. You probably do need to water them during the hottest, driest part of the year. But the winterberry is probably one of the number one plants for winter showing of berries. You can find great examples of these at the Arboretum in the southern part of Buncombe County off of Highway 191. All around the parking lots, they got big swathes of winterberries planted on the banks around the parking lot, and these plants have been allowed to be full-sized. They're beautiful. You can really see what the impact is of these. And the cool thing is, in the late winter, when the birds start migrating, those berries become food for the birds, and the cedar waxwings will flock in here and wipe them out in a matter of a few hours, which is kind of great to be able to watch that happen in your own yard. So winterberries, that's our native deciduous holly. But we also have a native holly that is evergreen, and that's our American holly. And the American holly is a beautiful plant. It was originally the holly that colonists used to for their boughs of holly on their mantelpieces inside and for decorations and wreaths. The American holly is actually a full-sized forest tree in the long run, but it's very slow growing. It takes over 100 years to become a full-sized tree. So most of them that you see are smaller, especially in our forests that have been harvested over and over again. There's none that have, there are very few that have been allowed to become big, mighty trees, but they do become big, mighty trees in the long run. So American holly, Ilex opaca. Remember, Ilex is the genus for hollies of all kinds. And then the species is the second word. That's the specific epithet, meaning that's the specific plant. And the American holly is a really great plant. Now, there's a bunch of offerings in the nursery trade that aren't straight American holly. They're hybrids between Chinese hollies and American hollies. So things like Foster holly, which has wonderful berries in the wintertime as well. Savannah holly and others are all, and my cultivar knowledge probably stopped back in the late 90s. They're just, back up to that point, there were X number of cultivars per plant genus. Now it's just exploded, and I have no way of being able to keep up with it in my feeble mind. And when I get back from this break, I'm going to start rapid fire going through these plants with winter interest here on the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast.
This is Duke from A Growing Concern. Christmas is here, y'all, and we've got fresh trees of all sizes, even those hard-to-find 10-footers, all grown right here in North Carolina. We also have blue spruce and Norfolks for planting after the holidays. We've got mixed greens, garlands, and reeds that we can even custom design. Or how about poinsettias, cyclamen, or Christmas cactus to brighten your indoor spaces with seasonal color? Come see me and the staff at A Growing Concern on Spartanburg Highway, where Christmas dreams come true.
Let Raymond's Garden Center color your world with smiles, kindness, and blooms. Their team is there to help you create your own sunshine. Visit Raymond's Garden Center, 1320 Canoga Road, where customer service is always in bloom.
Welcome back to the Gardening in the Mountains radio show and podcast. I'm Steve Pettis, your local county extension agent and host. We're here to talk gardening, answer your garden questions, and help you make your garden grow better. Left out of the first break talking about plants with winter interest. I literally have dozens and dozens of plants, and I made it through two plants. So I better get a move on here. Time is limited. So we were talking about plants with berries. I mentioned the deciduous holly, our native one, winterberry. I've also mentioned our evergreen holly that's native. That's the American holly. Calocarpa americana, which is the beauty berry. That's an amazing plant. It has lavender-colored berries on it this time of year. Great for wildlife food. It's a shrub, suckering shrub. There's several native viburnums that we have in our woods that also have berries. Usually these are dark, dark purple, almost black berries that you'll see on there. Some people call them wild cranberries. They're not truly cranberries, but that's one of the names they get. Our native aronia is a wonderful plant. That's one I learned about more recently in the last 10 years. It's actually very similar to a blueberry or even an American Amelanchier serviceberry. It's very similar to one of those, but it has, it's called a chokeberry. That's the common name, chokeberry. That's a native plant, has lots of berries on it in the early winter. Eventually the birds will eat them, but that's great. Our native cranberry, which is a little mounding shrub, beautiful plant, wonderful red berries, grows well in the sun and landscapes. It makes a bit of a ground cover. American cranberry is really great for that. Our native euonymus, we have Hearts of Buston, and we have the Wahoo. Those are two native euonymus. Now, again, there's always Chinese and Asian analogs of most plants that we have. There's tons of Asian euonymus, which are basically invasive here. But the native ones are really great, and they're beautiful. Sumacs this time of year have a beautiful red spike of berries on the top of them. They used to be called poison sumac. I don't know why they don't call them poison sumac anymore. Maybe they're trying to friendly up the names. But sumac's also great. So those are plants with berries. Plants with seeds, interesting seeds this time of year. Sea and river oats. I love sea and river oats. They have, the seeds are flat and they're in a fan. So they look sort of like maybe your hand when you have your fingers closed. They look like that, and there are stacks of them hanging from the tops of this grass, which is about 3 feet tall. And this time of year, they're bone dry, and they rattle in the wind, and they look really nice. It's a different, interesting form in the garden. It's really nice. And the seeds are viable, and they'll create more grasses, and they fill in an area. So native grasses are a highly underutilized form of plants that we have locally, and they have beautiful seeds on them, and this is all of our native grasses do. So we have a list. I have a list. I'm not going to go into all of them. There's a list of them on our website. It's called List of Native Grasses. You can go there and find that list and try to find you some, because they're amazing and they're really good at holding land together. They're good at preventing erosion. They have very deep roots. So those are plants. Oh, let's see some other plants with seeds. We have a rattlesnake master. That's a great native flower. Bee balm, incredible flower for pollinators. Yarrow as well. All of these plants, Joe Pieweed, they're in coneflower, and black-eyed Susan, all of these plants that are wonderful pollinating plants also have tons of seeds that are held on the tops of their stalks into the wintertime. They provide winter interest. They provide habitat for the little critters, these stems and stalks and seed heads. And then the seeds become wildlife food for birds and little small mammals and other things. So plants with seeds provide lots of winter interest. Winter bloomers, they provide lots of interest. Witch hazel and all of the hamamelis plants, they bloom in the wintertime. There's a ton of ones from Europe that are really nice that we tend to use in our landscape. There's a few from America, the Americas, that we use. Right now in my garden at work, I have Edgeworthia blooming. If you've never seen Edgeworthia, it's also called the paper paper flower plants or something like that. Edgeworthia is really beautiful. It has no leaves on it. It has no leaves, but it has flowers in the dead cold of winter. It's very weird. It's a very weird plant, but it's very cool, and it makes a nice garden specimen. Camellias, both Sasanquas and Japonicas, are both blooming right now, blooming like crazy. And those are really great to have in your garden because they're a little splash of color in your winter landscape. Winter jasmine, which is not native, but it's a very cool shrub that has yellow flowers on it in the wintertime. And, of course, late in the winter, hellebores are going to bloom, and that comes around end of March, beginning of April. Some structural plants that are plants that have structural interest, to have interesting bark form and that sort of thing. Of course, Japanese maples. Japanese maples are probably the classic plant that has the beautiful shaped stems. Go to MrMaple.com and you can find hundreds of those available from our local wonderful retailer, MrMaple.com. Those are structurally interesting, but Harry Lauder walking stick, that's another one. Although that one tends to get disease and doesn't last forever. So, you know, some people have luck with them. Most people don't. They're interesting to try if you ever get your hands on one. Corkscrew willows, another great plant. It's a bit of a tree, so be prepared for that. But if you have a wet spot, you can just cut a limb off a corkscrew willow, jam it in the ground in the wintertime, and it will root. Trees with interesting bark, shrubs with interesting bark, paper bark maple, river birch, and the coral bark maple. We have a lot of dogwoods that have really beautiful bark, the Coosa dogwood, the yellow twig dogwood, the red twig dogwood. There's a lot of dogwoods, actually, silky dogwood, that all have interesting, beautiful bark. Our native sweet shrub, clethora, has beautiful bark. Sycamores, big trees, but they have amazing bark. There's a Japanese pine called a lace bark pine that has amazing, interesting mottled bark. Our non-native lace bark elm, Zelkova, and crepe myrtle, those three shrubs, pretty popular in the trade, wonderful bark. But probably one of my favorites, it's not native, it's not invasive, it's a great plant. It's a tree, looks much like a dogwood shaped like a dogwood, but it has exfoliating patchy bark with colors in the patches, and that is the Japanese stewardia. That is a really, really great plant, so check that one out. Evergreens, of course, they're interesting year-round because they are evergreen, especially conifers such as arborvitae, hemlocks, and new different spruces. Norway spruce is one of my favorites. You have to understand that Norway spruces are giant trees, but man, do they grow well. They really take abuse. They grow. I've been really impressed since I've moved to Western North Carolina and watched Norway spruces over the last 10 years, how strong they are in storms, how fast they grow, how they can handle tough areas. And Norway spruces have that, you know, that alpine look that we like to see in the mountains. I have a couple of probably 20-year-old fat Albert spruces. I'm not sure of the parentage of that spruce. I know it's a cultivar. It's a selection. It's 20 years old, and it's about 8 feet tall and about 10 feet wide, thus the name fat Albert spruce. It's very, very, very pretty. I really, really like it. You have to remember with conifers, as I've said many times on the show, must plant them in full sun where they get plenty of airflow. If they get any shade, they're going to eventually die on you. So remember that. If you have a conifer, plant it in the sun. I went to a lady's house. She lived on a mountainside. Part of her yard got lots of sun. Part of it didn't. It got shade and all. And she had bought tons of these really expensive, high-end, super interesting conifers. However, all the ones in the shade were doing poorly, and that's always bad news once you've spent a lot of money on a plant. And another conifer that I really like as a genus, and that's the white cedars. So our Atlantic white cedar, that's the Camassiparis genus. that's a really great plant. There's tons of cultivars that descend from the various Camassiparis species and all of their crosses and all of that. Arizona cypress is another great one. Again, only put it in full sun. Colorado blue spruce, I love that plant. I've seen some nice ones here. They will eventually, they don't last forever in the landscape. Even planted in the best situations, they only last about 10 or 15 years. But they're really pretty while they do grow. So if you can get your hands on one of them, they really do provide lots of wonderful winter interest. And I will be compiling this list that I went through today on our website, so you can check that out. I'll be doing that real soon, so keep an eye out for that. I'll spread it out to all our social media, especially my Master Gardener Facebook page. That's where I send most of my stuff, and then it gets spread from there. But it will be on our website. Our website is our archive of our interesting information that we present here on the show, and we really thank you for joining us here in this first week of December. Hope you are having a great winter. You had a great Thanksgiving, and happy gardening, everyone.
This has been Gardening in the Mountains with Steve Pettis. Steve is your Henderson County agent with NC State University. If you'd like to ask Steve a question, call the Henderson County Extension Office at 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. That's 697-4891 or email Steve at gardeninginthemountains@gmail.com. To listen to this show again or hear past episodes, go to WTZQ.com. Click on the Features tab and scroll down to Gardening in the Mountains.
Brought to you by A Growing Concern, celebrating 39 years. Bring life and color to your outdoor and indoor space with the professionals at A Growing Concern, Spartanburg Highway.